which leaves other areas, such as education and welfare, looking vulnerable again.
That was done before, when we had to go through a period of austerity, and that was very unpopular indeed. If they're going to go through that again, they're going to be very unpopular, and it's not going to be accepted, I don't think. So it's going to be interesting to see which bit they're going to try and cut, or are they really just going to bank on growth, in which case we can't see how they're going to do it.
More than 24 million Britons live on some sort of benefit. A further reduction is unthinkable.
The UK economy shrank unexpectedly in August. Inflation is at nearly 10%, interest rates are up, pension funds are on the brink, faith in the government shaken. And with the Bank of England's intervention in the markets ending this week, is another U-turn by the government in the offing. Sai Poor is up, London.
A general strike and civil disobedience have been observed in occupied East Al-Quds and in many areas of the occupied West Bank to reject Israel's siege on Shafat refugee camp and Anata town northeast Al-Quds. Since Saturday, the Israeli military has kept over 130,000 Palestinians in the two areas under forced lockdown after sealing all military checkpoints. The siege has disrupted residents' vital interests. It has prevented them from accessing the rest of the city for works, school and medical care and other necessities in severe violation of their basic rights. Israeli military says the move comes as they are searching for a Palestinian gunman who killed an Israeli female soldier at a checkpoint at the entrance to Shafat on Saturday.
What goes on in these actions by the Palestinians are a normal response to the Israeli brutality and aggression against Shafat refugee camp and Anata town. The strike is meant to lift the siege imposed on Shafat and Anata, Al-Quds, Qalandia refugee camp, and other towns. We all responded to the call of civil disobedience and strike.
Also on Wednesday, the Israeli forces imposed a closure on the occupied West Bank city of Nablus, a day after an Israeli soldier was shot dead near an illegal settlement in the area. In addition to the major military checkpoints surrounding the city, dirt mounds have been placed on the Nablus area roads by military bulldozers to prevent Palestinians to use alternative exits. A manhunt is still underway to find the shooter. Israeli media revealed that the military was considering launching a large-scale operation in the northern West Bank in a bid to end the recent phenomena in struggle, armed struggle.
The resistance of the Palestinian people, and especially the armed resistance, as it happened in Jenin, and it moved to Nablus, and now from Nablus, we hope that it will be spreading all over the West Bank in order to resist this occupation. The phenomena that we are witnessing today in Nablus, this is the new way for the Palestinians to express their anger of this occupation, especially and particularly that all other political solutions is totally failed.
In recent months, the Israeli army have launched near daily raids to the West Bank, mainly in Jenin and Nablus, where Palestinian armed resistance is becoming more organized and new groups of fighters have been formed, the most popular now known as the Lion's Den. Despite Tel Aviv's heavy-handed crackdown and collective punishment of Palestinians, they are keeping up their resistance against the regime using different tools. Every day, the Palestinians prove that the Israeli military's aggressive measures have failed to weaken their struggle. Mona Kandil, occupied Ramallah.
We are with you. What about you? Fruitful Moments with IRIB English Radio.
This is A to Z. An introduction into an Islamic lifestyle. Today's lesson, self-refinement. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Welcome everyone. Thank you for listening to this show. This is A to Z show from the IRB English Radio. I'm your host, Hussein Hinzano. Now, in today's lesson, we're talking about self-refinement. We know that for sure, arrogance, jealousy, anger, slander, and treason, egotism, backbiting, accusation, ill-speaking, all these issues are bad habits, and they are undesirable habits. Apart from the fact that by features we understand and realize their ugliness, hundreds of Quranic verses and traditions have confirmed their ugliness. They have talked about their ugliness and their indecencies. Our traditions in this field are extremely vast. They are extremely vast. They are also rich and comprehensive, that there does not exist the least shortage. Also, all forbidden acts and sins and their relevant punishments have been explained explicitly and comprehensively in the whole Quran and traditions, and we do know about all of them. Therefore, as for the identification of minor and major sins are concerned, we do not have any problem at all. But at the same time, it must be frankly admitted that we all are captive of sudden and imperious, and that is nafs al-ammar, the self. And unfortunately, we do not find the grace for purification of self from sins and moral indecency. This is our real problem, for which a solution must be found. In my opinion, these are two important factors relevant to the above problem. We need to check the above problem, the self-refinement, as a big problem, and its main cause is the captiveness of Satan, and the next one is the nafs al-ammara, the self, the imperious self. We're coming back after a few minutes.
IRIB English Radio. Our website is parsetoday.com.
You can email us at englishradio@irib.ir.
Welcome back. You're listening to A to Z program from the IRB English Radio. Today we're talking about self-refinement. In this program, we're talking about self-refinement. Now, I've been talking about the two major factors relevant for the problem of self-refinement. And we talked about the Satan and the Nafs al-Ammara. Now, one of the other major two problems that cause self-refinement is fast. We do not understand our moral diseases and do not have the courage to admit this sickness within ourselves. We keep ourselves from it and say that we are not having it, and it's like we're not recognizing it. We're not having any recognition for that, for this particular sickness. Now, secondly, we regard this particular problem as a minor thing, and we are negligent about the severe, painful, and catastrophic consequences arising thereof. We are not concerned for the treatment. We are not working anything. We are not doing anything to make sure that it's treated and it's end. So these are the two factors responsible for negligence towards self-refinement. Therefore, this should be discussed in detail, and the method of treatment should also be looked at. It should be discovered. How can we treat self-refinement? Thank you so much for listening to this show. Until next episode, inshallah, we'll talk much about this. Thank you so much. Fi amanillah. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
the wildfires in Greece, Turkey, the United States.
Palestinian prisoners in Israeli jails continue to engage in hunger strikes.
Kim Yo-jong, the powerful sister of North Korean leader.
On the news line.
Whether signed in the White House or overseen by a U.S. president or secretary of state, the United States has almost always had a role in any and all negotiations between Palestinian and Israeli sides. Looking at some of the more important instances of these talks, one can think of the first Oslo Accord in 1993 that was signed in Washington in the presence of then-U.S. President Bill Clinton. The 1999 Sharm el-Sheikh Memorandum that was signed in Egypt was also overseen by the U.S. through Madeleine Albright, then Secretary of State of the Clinton administration. The unsuccessful Camp David summits in the year 2000 was overseen directly by Bill Clinton himself. Following the unsuccessful peace talks, Clinton would make another effort at influencing the Israeli-Palestinian relations through the aptly named Clinton parameters, showing the extent of his and U.S. involvement in the talks. Sometimes this influence even meant that the fate of Palestine would be discussed without the participation of any Palestinian representative, as was the case in the Camp David Agreement in 1978, which was signed by Egyptian President, Israeli Prime Minister, and then US President Jimmy Carter, without even an Arabic version of the documents. These showed the never-wavering U.S. Pledge of Allegiance to Israel, a pledge that will always protect Israeli interests which would automatically go against Palestinian interests. Among the most important of these interests is a trinity of inalienable rights defined by the Palestine National Council in 1974, which consists of Palestinians' right to self-determination, an independent state, and most importantly, right of return. The most recent example of neglecting these rights occurred in 2020. During Trump's tenure, the deal of the century was presented, which many later called the flop of the century. The Trump peace plan was titled Peace to Prosperity, a vision to improve the lives of the Palestinian and Israeli people. But it was far from that. The plan had been delayed by 2 years and previously rejected by the Palestinians, who were not invited to the meeting. The plan never materialized, however, since, again, it was not representative of the Palestinians' rights on major core issues of the Israeli-Palestinian conflict. The first time Israel attempted to make the smallest bit of compromise was at the Camp David summit in 2000. Israel said it would be willing to allow 100,000 Palestinian refugees back to their homeland, while the millions of others had to be resettled wherever they were at the time. Also, Yasser Arafat, then chairman of the Palestine Liberation Organization, would have to forego the idea of right of return completely from then on. Similar ludicrous proposals that were rejected by Arafat were all proposed with the U.S. being on board with these proposals. The U.S. involvement in the so-called peace talks have time and again shown Palestinians and their officials that the U.S. is not to be trusted as a neutral party. On the sidelines of the sixth summit of the Conference on Interaction and Confidence-Building Measures in Asia and Kazakhstan, Palestinian President Mahmoud Abbas had a meeting with Russian President Vladimir Putin. In it, he expressed that he is happy with Russia's position on Palestine. He also said that he would only accept U.S. involvement in the conflict resolution process if other parties of the Quartet on the Middle East were present. The Middle East Quartet, established in Madrid in 2002, is a foursome of nations and international and supranational entities involved in mediating the Israeli-Palestinian peace negotiations. Its members are the United Nations, the United States, the European Union, and Russia. Palestine's hand is now one of unity, since the Palestinian factions have all established peace amongst themselves, including Hamas and Fatah. Palestinian factions signed reconciliation agreements in Algeria. Hamas, Fatah, and 12 other Palestinian groups agreed to hold legislative and presidential elections within 1 year after the successful talks held in Algiers. Meanwhile, when it comes to peace talks between Israel and Palestine, Abbas has stressed that Washington should not be given free hand to act alone in resolving the decades-long Palestine-Israeli conflict.
The rising rivalries between the U.S. and China are set to dominate the coming years in the 21st century. That is because the U.S. has unveiled this long-delayed national security strategy, where China is named as the most consequential geopolitical challenge for the regime in Washington. That means that Washington is prioritizing winning over China, as Beijing is seen as the only global rival to the U.S. Jake Sullivan, the U.S. National Security Advisor, said, "The People's Republic of China harbors the intention and increasingly the capacity to reshape the international order in favor of one that tilts the global playing field to its benefit." The U.S. strategy further insists that China represents the most consequential challenge to the global order. It also says the U.S. must win the economic arms race with the superpower if it hopes to retain its global influence. The strategy has warned that China's rapid advances in technology is aimed at molding the world order. The strategy is in line with the rhetoric pursued by the Biden administration and its predecessor. Biden officials have accused Russia and China of looking to change the so-called rules-based order. The term has come to be seen as a synonym for Washington-led world order. The Biden administration has entangled itself in a number of global crises, including the war in Ukraine. The Washington regime encouraged the war in Ukraine by sending more weapons into the conflict zone. Washington is using the crisis to contain Russia. And by encouraging its allies to sever their energy ties with Moscow, Washington is trying to push European countries into its own sphere of influence. Furthermore, Washington is stoking tensions in the East Asia region by strengthening its ties with the Chinese Taipei. Back in August 2022, the U.S. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi visited Taiwan, drawing an angry reaction from China. Beijing has warned that it will not tolerate Washington's meddlesome interference in its own affairs. But Washington's increasingly belligerent behavior in Europe and East Asia has pushed Russia and China closer together. They have forged closer ties in a variety of fields, including energy, business, and defense areas. Furthermore, both Moscow and Beijing are key members of the BRICS groups of countries and the Shanghai Cooperation Organization. Two bodies are playing key roles in shifting the Western-led balance toward a multipolar world. Russia and China have also forged closer ties with countries like Iran and India, which are emerging powers in the shifting geostrategic relations worldwide. It is now widely believed that Washington's ambitions to still lead the world is facing tough challenges. It appears that the regime in Washington has no longer the capability that it once possessed to dictate its hegemony.
Iran hosting the 36th International Conference on Islamic Unity in the capital Tehran, which hosts 200 Shia and Sunni clerics as well as thinkers from some 60 different countries. The annual event puts into discussion the challenges faced by the Muslim world. It's widely believed that uniting Muslims in the region and worldwide would be a great step in alleviating the problems they're facing. Violence and wars are killing Muslims in Yemen, Afghanistan, Iraq, and Syria. Imam Khomeini, the late founder of the Islamic Republic, proposed the idea in the 1980s to bring Muslims together against the imperialist aggressions and interventions of Western powers. Over the years, Iran has championed the cause of Islamic unity and brotherhood. This is when many other Muslim countries have brazenly become facilitators and enablers of America's neo-imperialism. The highlight of this year's event was a speech by Iran's President Ebrahim Raisi to the participants of the conference. During his speech, President Raisi hailed resistance as the only viable path to confronting the Israeli regime. Raisi further said that history has proven wrong those countries who assumed that negotiations would save Palestine.
The biggest human rights violators are the US, Israel, and some Western countries, despite their claims to be human rights defenders. See their record, what they have done to their own people and the people around the globe.
Raisi also referred to previous deals reached with the Tel Aviv regime on the issue of Palestine, saying the regime has refused to honor the commitments it has made. He also criticized the Arab governments that normalized their ties with Israel and the Zionist regime. He said the U.S. and the Israeli regime are trying to marginalize Palestinians through normalization deals. Raisi was referring to the United Arab Emirates, Bahrain, Sudan and Morocco, which normalized their ties with Israel in late 2020 under deals pushed by former U.S. President Donald Trump. One of the issues that was highlighted in this conference was how Muslims in Palestine are brutally oppressed by the Israeli regime, which is supported by the West and some regional Arab states that have betrayed the cause of Palestine. The normalization deals with the Israeli regime has emboldened Tel Aviv to carry out more war crimes in the occupied Palestinian territories.
It's no surprise to us that the House of Saud has teamed up with the Israeli regime. They claim to be Muslims, but in fact they are the puppets of the Israelis and do what Tel Aviv dictates to them.
So far this year, more than 100 Palestinians have been killed in the occupied West Bank and Al-Quds amid a massive increase in Israeli military raids. Israel has killed five times as many Palestinians in 2022 than it killed in the same period in 2021. And on the issue of Palestinian prisoners, nearly 300 rights groups have condemned the continued detention of Palestinians in Israeli prisons. They called on the international community to act against the crimes of Israel. The groups also censured Israel for its administrative detention of Palestinians. Conferences like the one held in Iran helped the Palestinian cause by continuing to point to the atrocities committed by the Israeli regime. If the Palestinian cause is not the most important issue for Muslims and the wider world, then Israeli forces will continue using excessive force in their dealings with the Palestinians without being held accountable.
The French leaders have seemingly found a solution to the country's energy crisis. Puffer jackets and turtlenecks have become the newest fashion trend in the Élysée, as ministers and the president try to imply a message to the public: wrap up warm for winter. That's while, as the cold season approaches, the nation struggles to afford heating. French motorists have been made to wait in long lines across the country to refuel their vehicles as petrol pumps run dry amid ongoing strikes at the country's oil refineries and storage sites. Almost a third of the petrol stations had problems getting deliveries of fuel as tanker drivers continue their strike over low wages and harsh working conditions amid a cost-of-living crisis in France. So, to cut the long story short, Macron is up to his neck in trouble, and his government's winter wardrobe messaging has drawn accusations of being out of touch with everyday reality. The country's far-right opposition leader, Marine Le Pen, mocked the government saying, "Don't have enough heating? Let them wear cashmere." And Gaspard Ganser, an advisor to former President François Hollande, labeled the idea grotesque and paternalistic. Paris has come up with an energy efficiency plan to get through the winter without blackouts. Homes and offices heated to a maximum of 19 Celsius degrees. No hot water in public buildings, no lit advertising overnight, a ban on doors left open in heated or air-conditioned shops, reduced temperatures in swimming pools and gyms. These are some examples of the action France is taking to save energy. However, environmentalists have accused the French government of promoting tiny measures while failing to take enough action on the climate crisis. They say unenforced and voluntary measures are ineffective. Also, scores of French intellectuals have urged the nation to rise in protest against President Emmanuel Macron's failure to improve economic conditions amid rising inflation. The current situation troubles the French government as a foretaste of problems to come, a potential winter of discontent. Now, the question is, will Macron get his head out of his turtleneck? Thousands of demonstrators gathered in Paris to protest soaring inflation and high cost of living, demanding that France pull out completely from membership in the US-led NATO military alliance. They demanded that President Emmanuel Macron resign, calling on his government to stop supplying arms to Ukraine. Ever since the Ukrainian crisis began, causing a severe energy crisis across Europe, anti-NATO sentiments have been rising among Europeans. Similar protests have been held across the European Union against soaring inflation and the rising cost of living caused by sanctions imposed on Russia in the wake of the Ukraine war. Since the beginning of the war in Ukraine in late February, Western countries have slapped waves of sanctions on Russia. In response, Moscow has either choked up or lessened its gas exports to the rest of Europe, saying it would only resume the gas flow after the economic sanctions were lifted. Disruption in supply chains has led to higher fuel and food prices across the EU, driving inflation to record levels and causing the cost of living to soar. The European Union leaders accused the Kremlin of wielding energy as a weapon, cutting gas supplies in retaliation for sanctions. The protesters also called on the US-led NATO coalition to immediately stop supplying arms to Ukraine and to work to resolve the simmering crisis through diplomacy.
اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا.
قد دعوتك ربي بقرآنك جنبني حراني.
Let's recite the Quran.
ناجيتك أرجو غفرانك يا من ينجينا إحسانك ودعوتك ربي بقرآنك.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على محمد وآله الطاهرين اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجهم. السلام عليكم respected brothers and sisters, dear listeners, welcome to Let's Recite the Quran Kareem, a series of Quranic sessions held by IRIB English Radio in cooperation with Sevier International Schools Network. I'm very glad to tell you that we have again here our brothers from Sevier International School, Brother Ali Nasir, Brother Hassan Nasrullah, Hussein Ruhullah, and also Fawad Haider Naghawi. So, assalamu alaikum, brothers. How are you?
Wa alaikum assalam.
Are you fine, Hussein?
Yes, sir.
Okay, Fawad Haider, how about you?
Salam, I'm fine, sir.
Okay,
how are you?
That's great. Thank you. And Hassan Nasrullah.
Assalamu alaikum.
Everything
fine.
All right?
Yes.
You're welcome. Thank you. And Ali Nasir, are you great?
Alhamdulillah, good?
Well?
Sir.
Okay, well, alhamdulillah. Great. He says alhamdulillah always, and that's the best thing. Alhamdulillah. So, I hope you're fine as well, inshallah. Thank you so much for joining us. Please stay with us, inshallah, till the end of this session. Again, today, inshallah, we will be having another Quranic session, working on Tajweed rules, and also having a short explanation about one ayah or two ayat or verses of the Holy Quran. So today, inshallah, we'll be talking about verse 35 of Surah Al-Baqarah. In the previous session, we talked about verse 34, and that was the story of how Allah Almighty commanded all the angels and also the Iblis, okay, to prostrate. Everyone prostrated, all the angels prostrated, okay, before Adam alayhi salam, but except Iblis. Yes, that Allah Almighty gave him a yellow card or red card?
Red card,
okay? And he will be suspended forever, okay? Until ila yawmi waqtim ma'loom, he will be suspended, okay? So, in this ayah, inshallah, before we explain, let's first listen to this.
وكلا منها رغدا حيث شئتما ولا تقربا هذه الشجرة فتكونا من الظالمين.
So great. I will recite. You should listen and repeat, then we'll explain. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
وقلنا يا آدم اسكن أنت وزوجك الجنة.
وقلنا يا آدم اسكن أنت وزوجك الجنة
وكلا منها رغدا حيث شئتما
وكلا منها رغدا حيث شئتما
ولا تقربا هذه الشجرة فتكونا من الظالمين
ولا تقربا هذه الشجرة فتكونا من الظالمين.
أحسنتم ما شاء الله ما شاء الله. When we say to Adam عليه السلام, Allah Almighty says, okay, that dwell with your mate in paradise. Uskun anta wa zawjuka al-jannah. Go to the heavens and stay there. Okay? Stay there. Like you go, for example, people go to other countries, okay? They, what do you say? They apply for example, citizenship, okay? Adam alayhi salam and Eve, okay? They had already applied. They had received their citizenship. And now they, as the residents of heaven, okay, they can stay there. But let's say, was it the heaven, the real heaven, the promised one, that after in the Day of Judgment, when everyone is judged based on the fairness and justice of Allah Almighty, is that that heaven that we go after the judgment? Was it that heaven? Based on some signs here, okay, some proofs, okay, that we will say that no, that was not the promised heaven. One. وَكُلَا مِنْهَا رَغَدًا حَيْثُ شِئْتُمَا. The first reason that we can understand that that was not the heaven. Allah Almighty says, وَلَا تَقْرَبَ هَذِهِ الشَّجَرَةُ. Do not get close to this tree. Okay? Why does Allah Almighty kind of prevent them? Command them not to do this. While in the promised heaven, Allah Almighty will not command us what to do, what not to do. For example, like this. That Allah Almighty should tell us that go there 5 times a day, you have to pray in the heaven. Allah Almighty will not tell us this way. Okay, Fawad is happy. Oh, I'm early in the morning. I don't need to wake up. Fawad, yes? Are you happy for that?
Yes,
are you happy
yes,
for that?
Yes.
Okay. So, in that, for example, in the heavens, Allah Almighty will not tell you, Fawad, okay? That do not fast during the month of Ramadan. No need to fast. So there, Hussein, Allah Almighty will tell you just this. Eat, 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 whatever you want. So look, the same say to Adam alayhi salam. Wakula minha. Kul means eat. Kula means you too, okay? Whatever you want. Eat, eat, okay? Ragadan haythu shaytuma. Whatever from these things that you have, eat, okay? Not the table. I mean, not these things, okay? The things in the heaven. وَلَا تَقْرَبَ هَذِهِ الشَّجَرَةِ. So Allah Almighty commanded them, avoided them not to do this, okay? Gave them like, kind of, actually it was a guidance, okay? That Allah Almighty wanted to show Adam alayhi salam, if you get close to this tree, فَتَكُونَ مِنَ الظَّالِمِينَ. You will be amongst those who are oppressors to themselves, okay? And it means that Allah Almighty was going to kind of teach Adam alayhi salam, in a virtual class, okay, online class. It was not online, it was in person, okay? In person class, that when you go to the earth, be careful. The things that I have told you that not to do, you don't have to do. If you do, you will be amongst oppressors and you will be deprived of my blessings and my mercy. That's what we are doing, okay? If, God forbid, we commit sin, of course, we are deprived of the blessings of Allah Almighty. It was kind of a class to teach Adam alayhi salam the guideline up for this world, okay? Yeah? We studied that Adam alayhi salam was created to stay, to spend his life on earth.
Yeah.
Yes.
إِنِّي جَاعِلٌ فِي الْأَرْضِ خَلِيفَةً Not فِي الْجَنَّةِ خَلِيفَةً, okay? Understood?
Yes.
Yes.
So, that's it. So let's go for the tajweed rules, inshallah, then we'll talk about the rest of the story in the coming sessions.
Let's recite the Quran.
بسم ربك الذي خلق
وقلنا يا آدم أسكن أنت So we have أسكن أسكت These words, they are commands. With أو starts with أو, they are commands, okay?
Yes.
أسجد أسكت أسكن Alright? أؤمر These all are command words with this rhythm that we have. أو okay? Uf'ul, with the word uf'ul, we have this command. So, if'al, uf'ul, af'il. These all are the words of commands, okay? In Arabic, we have orders. Amr. Sighatul amr. So, now, uskun means go, stay, for example, yes. Or dwell there, okay? So, hamzatul wasl, we assigned it with dhamma. Because it was the beginning of the ayah. We have to pronounce it, right, Hassan?
Yes.
Okay. So why Dhamma? In the previous session as well, we talked about it. Huh? Who knows? Why Dhamma? Yeah?
Because the next, the middle letter.
The third. The third.
Letter has Dhamma.
The third letter has a Dhamma on the top. So again, let's repeat the rule. Brothers and sisters who are listening to us, do not forget. If you want to read or pronounce a hamzatul wasl. Okay? There are two rules. Actually, for nouns and verbs, a little bit different. The words starting with al, alif and lam, hamzatul wasl and lam, okay? Al, either it is lam ta'rif with moon letter or sun letter, okay? You have to assign it with fatha. Alladhi, alhamdulillah, as-sama, al-ard, with fatha. All of them with fatha. If you want to read, start from that. Like you say, alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin, right? Alhamdu, Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim, this way. But when you have, when it comes to verbs, okay, you have to take a look at the third letter. If the third letter has a Dhamma on the top, assign that Hamzatul Wasl with Dhamma. Uskun, Lukku. If the third letter has a Fatha or Kasra, assign it with Kasra. Kasra and Fatha both are applied. One rule is applied for both of them. A kasra, okay?
Yes. Like,
we had it. Where? Istakbara. Aba, wastakbara. You read it? Istakbara. Right? In the previous ayah we had. So that's the rule for hamzatul wasl. Uskun anta. Nun sakin plus anta. The word anta starts with hamza. Nun sakin plus hamza. What rule is applied?
Ikhfa.
Ikhfa. But that's wrong. He didn't mean that. He just wanted to, test Ali Nasir whether he says the correct answer or no.
Sir, which one?
Uskun. Nun sakin. Then the next word starts with a.
Idhar.
Idhar, right, yes. Right. Idhar. Yeah, exactly. Hussein Rahullah wanted to see if Fawad Haider is going to fix the mistake. MashaAllah, Fawad Haider. So, say something for Fawad Haider. Recite a salawat and dedicate.
Allahumma
salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. So active. Yeah, that active we have to be. So, uskun anta. How do you read now? Let's see. If we recited a salawat for you. Come on. Actually, for Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his progeny, but the reward for him. So, how do you read it? Izhar. Izhar means as if there is no rule.
Uskun anta.
Ah, uskun anta. Okay, but anta was not correct.
Ikhfa anta.
Ah, ikhfa. MashaAllah, Fawad. One more salawat for him.
Allahumma
salli ala Muhammad wa ali
Muhammad.
What did you have for breakfast? Maybe he had something special. He has too much energy today. So, uskun anta. Ikhfa. Anta. Uskun anta. Faster, the first one, okay? Uskun anta. The first one. No rule. It is idhar, but it means no rule.
Yeah,
actually. Because we apply nothing. Okay. Wazawjuka al-jannah. Noon. Mushaddad. Be careful, okay? Two.
Idgham mithlain.
Yeah. Do an idgham. Jannah. Wakula. Kul means one person. You. Kula. You two. Kulu. You three. You all. Kuli means one lady. You eat.
This is present tense.
Kula means two ladies. Kulna. All ladies.
It means it's present past.
It's an order. Present. Order. Okay. Command. Like you say, go. Sit. But in English we have go, go, go for one person, go for three person, go for every person, all the people, yes? 1 billion, like 1.7, like billions we have, yeah? Billion, yeah, 1.7 billion. So, if you say go, you say to all of them, go. But in Arabic, you say, like we have ukhruju, for example. The word ukhruju for all of them, for one person, ukhruj, ukhruja, ukhruju. For two person, ukhruja, ukhruju. That's the way we build words in Arabic, okay? It must be kind of difficult, but it's amazing. So, وَكُلَ مِنْهَا رَغَدًا حَيْثُ رَغَدًا تَنْوِين حَيْثُ starts with ha, the same as أُسْكُنْ أَنْتَ إِظْهَار, right?
Yeah.
حَيْثُ
yeah.
Yes. رَغَدًا حَيْثُ
yeah.
شِئْتُمَا وَلَا تَقْرَبَ قَافْقَ الْقَلَمِ make sure هَذِهِ الشَّجَرَةَ فَتَكُونَ مِنَ الظَّالِمِينَ that's all. But make sure ظَالِمِينَ heavy letter. So, alhamdulillah, we finished this ayah as well. That's all about tajweed rules, okay, in this ayah. And also that short explanation. Inshallah, the next reasons that, was it really, they promised heaven or no, or something else? We'll talk about it in the next coming session. So, do you have any questions?
Nothing? No.
Make sure you refer to the Tafasir book, okay? And also, practice the tajweed rules. Thanks to IRIB. First and foremost, thanks to Allah Almighty. And then thanks to IRIB English Radio. In cooperation with several international schools who are holding this kind of Quranic sessions. So thank you so much. See you inshallah in the next session. Stay with us. Walhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa sallallahu ala Muhammadi wa alihi al-tahirin.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa alihi Muhammad.
Let's recite the Quran, a joint production of IRIB English Radio and Xavier International Schools.
ذكر وموعظة ونور فيه شفاء للصدور وشفيعنا يوم النشور آياته تروي المدى وصفاته نبع الهدى نلقى الجنان بحبه لن تستقيم حياتنا إلا به هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان والقرآن.
Cultural news, social news, scientific news, artistic news. With delight.
Arch restoration requires intensive research and training and loads of skill. But imagine the anxiety while professionals embark on restoring rare paintings. Under careful supervision, French restorers are working to give back to 500-year-old paintings their former glory. They were rescued from a fire that engulfed the Notre-Dame Cathedral in Paris in 2019. These works date back from the 17th and early 18th century. The paintings, including 22 with large format, were temporarily stored in a warehouse and now being restored at an undisclosed location. The fire caused strictly no damage to the paintings, but they have accumulated thick layers of dirt and smoke on the surface after hanging in the cathedral for centuries. Some of the works also have paint loss due to overcleaning that restorers say need to be repaired elegantly. Colombia is known for its tourist attractions and is full of breathtaking natural sights such as beaches, mountains, deserts, and forests. The South American nation is also one of the few places that give tourists the chance to have an encounter with whales. Every year, from July to October, domestic and foreign tourists flock to Colombia's Pacific coast to catch a glimpse of humpback whales. The large animals reach the coast after traveling thousands of kilometers from Antarctica and southern Chile. But for visitors, there are strict rules to help preserve the area and the whales. Tourists are now being welcomed for whale watching after a two-year hiatus due to the coronavirus pandemic. This is also the time when humpback whales start their reproductive process.
Robots are slowly but surely becoming part of everyday life, taking on human roles in different areas. Now, fast food restaurants can make French fries faster and better as a robot called Flippy 2 takes over the job.
When an order comes in through the restaurant system, it automatically spits out the instructions to Flippy. It takes a frozen product, fries it for the precise amount of time, and puts the finished product in the end. It does it faster, more accurately, more reliably, and happier than most humans do it.
Flippy 2 has been created in a robotic lab in California called MISO after 5 years of efforts by its developers. According to the project engineers, a really good understanding of the food science is needed to make sure the food quality is there, how different food sticks together, and how the temperature and heat affect it. The MISO CEO says the machine can cook several meals with different recipes simultaneously, removing the need for catering staff.
This technology utilizes a whole bunch of computer vision. There's cameras throughout the system, including right here we have these food identification cameras. The cameras not only guide the robot and tell it exactly where it is in space and how to move through this area, but also identifies the food type, and it knows the recipe for each one.
The MISO CEO says tasks like the fry station are the kind that humans are most happy to offload. The name Flippy comes from the original machine designed to flip burgers, which was not very useful for restaurants. A celebrated Chinese artist integrates his life experiences and the beauty of his homeland using his own distinctive style of traditional painting. Chen Jialing is known for his Chinese ink paintings. Chen brings to life the imaginative richness and culture through his depictions of landscape with every brush of color. He is most famous for breaking traditional painting techniques while staying within the framework of the art form. Chen says one of his favorite subjects is the Jianggong Mountains, especially during certain hours when the sunlight offers its own visual delights.
The composition of this painting is based on the main peak of the Jinggang Mountains. Because the main peak is the most majestic and imposing, especially at noon. The sun shines on the trees, forming a contour light involving trees and the large mountains, which is extremely beautiful.
The 85-year-old artist has also used fused traditional landscape painting with modern technology. Though Chen has participated in numerous art exhibitions, but he says his first solo exhibit was held in his 70s, and that's when his career really took off. Chen says he plans to paint as much of his homeland's stunning scenery as possible during his lifetime.
Freedom is an essential virtue that is valued not only by humans but animals as well, just like two eagle owls that have been released into the wild after being born in a Madrid zoo. The two owl twins were freed after months of training to survive in the nature. First, they were taken to a big aviary to develop the necessary skills, including those for hunting prey. The aviary is designed to have a similar environment to the local mountain range. Meantime, they need to gain muscle and come to a suitable weight. After passing various skill tests, the owls are released as part of Madrid Zoo's breeding program of night birds of prey. 7 eagle owls and 11 barn owls have been released since the program was launched in 2017. However, some of them flew back seeking shelter as they failed to adapt to the nature.
On the outskirts of China's metropolis, Shanghai, a tiny island has been dubbed Cat Island as it provides shelter for stray animals. Since it opened last month, a charity based on the island is taking in cats mainly brought from Shanghai residents. These small carnivorous mammals are neutered and evaluated, and those with good temper and health are allowed to roam free on the island. The city's Stray Cats Management Center says their trap-neuter-release policy is to protect stray cats, limits their population, and maintain ecological balance. However, Shanghai has an estimated 200 stray cats per square kilometer, which means other methods will be needed to control the urban population, stray cats.
The Light is a bulletin in which we bring you a lot of interesting news in different fields like animals' life, cultural events, funny trending news, and more from every corner of the world.
A pair of baby panda twins make their debut appearance at the Chongqing Zoo in southwest China, with visitors flocking to cherish the abundance of cuteness.
Our returnee panda, Ershan, gave birth to the twin brother and sister on July 22nd this year. Currently, the elder brother weighs 4.3 grams and the younger sister weighs 0.6 grams. They're in good condition at present.
The twins' first public appearance was on Saturday, the first day of the week-long National Day holidays. During this week, the pair of giant panda cubs will be on display in the nursery of the panda house of the zoo. Their mother, Ershan, once lived in Canada as a goodwill envoy, but returned to her homeland in 2020. This was Ershan's second delivery of twins. A total of 21 pandas currently live in the Chongqing Zoo, which has been breeding giant pandas since the 1960s. The evolution of robots has been one of the fascinations of recent technological developments. And now the most cutting-edge achievements in that department were presented to the public during a conference in Beijing. The four-day annual World Robot Conference was held both offline and online. It featured three major events, including forum, expo, and competition. On display were more than 500 sets of robots from 130 companies from China and abroad. The conference gave an idea of how the future of humanity will be impacted by the automations. It shows how they can contribute to different sectors, from the restaurant industry and medicine to elderly care, agriculture, and manufacturing. An aircraft powered by electricity may still be some way off, but one of its types is already here thanks to a whole range of innovative solutions being developed by aviation firms. American company Aviation Aircraft has debuted its all-electric plane in Washington State. The aircraft, named Alice, took off the runway at Grand County International Airport and flew for 8 minutes. It reached an altitude of 3,500 feet before touching down the ground. According to the company, the aircraft produces no carbon emissions, significantly reduces noise, and costs a fraction to operate compared to usual light jets. The company says it continues to develop and tweak the plane's battery system for an hour flight.
We're targeting a design criteria of 35 minutes for a charge. And so that'll be a charge for the typical route length. It's actually, as I just said, it's actually a design point. So going back to the comment I made earlier about designing batteries for aircraft, it's one of the considerations is how quickly do we want it to charge and how much power do you want to be able to draw from it. So again, we're targeting call it 30 minutes of charge for an hour of flight time, or about 2C if you're...
The company aims to find its way into the market for trips that sit between 150 and 250 miles, a range that features aircraft similar in size to Alice. It will also be for both commuter and cargo flights. For aircraft manufacturers, this paradigm shift is driving fuel savings in flight and on the ground, reducing carbon footprints and NOx emissions while also improving reliability and cutting maintenance costs. Many people of the world are supported almost completely by animals because they live in areas unsuitable for animal husbandry. But these days, even some city dwellers are making their living out of animals, like a Virginia girl. Andrea Diaz quit her job at a restaurant and started to rent her pet alpacas to cheer up steer crazy Americans during the pandemic. Since the launch of her business in 2020, it has expanded from 2 to 14 alpacas. Interestingly, 5 with fluffy pets are regularly making a paid appearance at birthdays, weddings, restaurants, and offices. She charges a starting price of $95 per hour. Diaz says the best part is when there are kids' birthday parties, but even it's really a fun for the adults. She calls alpacas a good exposure because they attract people.
In most of its habitats, the heavily trafficked pangolin faces the biggest threat from humans. But in Taiwan, these gentle creatures are exposed to quite a different danger, feral dogs. In the island, a government policy has led to a surge in the population of feral dogs. The pangolins share most of their roaming area with the stray animals. Plus, these scaly animals cannot move as fast as their attackers. When faced with danger, pangolins curl themselves into a ball shape, but the tail still remains at the most outer side, and that's where the dogs hit them hard.
If you're interested to know about history, culture, family, politics, religion, art, etc., You wouldn't want to miss the chance to tune into the IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.